Welcome to the Red Hand Podcast here, and we are Tyrone, delighted to be with you, delighted to be with Barry O'Donnell and the Herald as always as well. Barry, massive weekend ahead. We have an interview with Alan Rodgers and Michael McKiernan as he returns from America. We'll hear from Conor Gormley as the Tyrone over 40s prepare for an All-Ireland semi-final, and also Kieran Howe as he returns back to Gaelic Games and management at Killiecluhar. First of all, though, the big headline, Eric Lekir, top of the table again, and they're looking pretty good with only a couple of games left.
They are indeed, Paddy, yeah, after a slow enough start to the season. I suppose Eric, maybe more than any of the big hitters, have benefited from the having so many of their top county men about, and with the unfortunately early demise of Tyrone, county men have been back with the club, so there's been fewer starred matches this year. So with Dara Canavan and Peter Hart and Ben McDonald and Niall Kelly and what have you all back on board, they've certainly built up steady momentum as the league campaign has unfolded. And as you said, they're top of the table now, approaching the business end after a sort of hard-fought victory away to a Dunamore team last weekend, who also need the points, but they were able to keep them at arm's length. I think it was 3-point winning margin in the end-up.
The teams at the top of the table sort of look after themselves. We know sort of it's very, very close there. But when you go to the bottom, it looks very difficult for Derry Laughlin unless they have a massive championship run. And a couple of our teams knocking around there as well in Division 1, and it isn't easy for them.
No, that's right. Derry Laughlin, as they had a bad defeat now at home to Loughmacrory last weekend, 8 or 9 points, and to be honest, that's the match they could ill afford to lose. They're marooned a bit now at the bottom of the table, Paddy. I think there's a 4-point gap between them and the next from bottom, so it's looking tough for them. As I said, you never know, given how competitive the Tyrone Championship is, they could go on a run on that, but that looks like their only means of salvation at this stage to win the senior championship to stay up. But after Derry Laughlin, as you say, it's just a real scrum there at the bottom, you know, including sort of, you know, traditional teams like the likes of Clonoe. Moy's carved out a victory over Greencastle last weekend, which brings them back to the pack. But it also keeps the likes of Clonoe and Dunamore certainly embroiled in that scrap at the bottom. I think I was looking, I know my colleague Niall Gartland was trying to just to get to the bottom of what lies in store this year. And I think that the bottom, the second and third from bottom, are involved in a playoff against each other, with the bottom team automatically relegated, albeit if they pull off a senior championship triumph, they'll stay up. But there's plenty to battle for at the foot of the Division 1 table heading into these final three games, Paddy, yes.
And we'll come back to the likes of the two big derbies at the weekend in a minute. Moving on to Division 2, a real scrap at the bottom there as well, Barry. I think there's 4 or 5 teams, the Clogher, teams that get Clogher, Berra, Tally Ray, all embroiled there at the bottom. And Esker obviously got the victory at the weekend over, or got the draw with Tally Ray at the weekend. Sort of grabbed it from the jaws of defeat, grabbed the draw from the jaws of defeat, really, and that was a real intriguing encounter there. But that's a real ding dong battle down there, isn't it?
Well, Division 2 traditionally is, you know, and as we were saying about Derry Laughlin probably being a wee bit stranded at the bottom of Division 1, that's certainly not the case in Division 2, where there's 4 or 5 teams sort of battling to stay up. And that there. That draw last weekend between Tally Ray and Esker just gives both of them a glimmer of hope still heading into the final stages. And
three games left, I think.
Clogher looked like they were pulling clear, but again, they've been dragged back into it too a bit. So, the battle at the top is fiercely contested, as we thought it would be with, there was 4 teams relegated from senior last year.
Those big hitters are all still.
And so they're all, as we expected, jostling at the top to get promoted again. But at the bottom, there's very little between the teams. As I said, there's nobody marooned, and everybody's going to need a victory or two to stay up, albeit, again, I put in that proviso that the intermediate championship winners, whether they come from the top half of the table or the bottom of the table, they will obviously be promoted to the senior football, whether they finish first or 16th in Division 2, Paddy. So we should put a we should always bear that in mind. But you know, as again with these three matches to be played, there's plenty at stake.
There's no doubt about that. And talking to Niall Coulton last week, he made it clear to me afterwards that obviously, you know, you can afford to maybe get a point in that game with Eskra and Tally Ray. But after this, it's one or take all, really. And that's what makes the Tyrone League so competitive, Barry, because you hear of other counties and they're sort of just peeling out their leagues and they're just sort of running out teams. The league's as important as the championship in Tyrone.
Yeah, and I suppose it's particularly so this year, Paddy, with the change in format where they're running off the whole of the league programme ahead of the championship. I think in the past, as we've all seen, there's always been a nod, nod, wink, wink. Maybe outcome to matches where teams who've who've lost in the championship and maybe are lacking momentum heading into those final few league games where they're stuck in mid-table with little to play for, and they might be playing a team at the bottom of the table.
Are you suggesting inappropriate behaviour, Barry?
Well, I'll put it this way: I don't think the bookies take bets in one or two of matches at the tail end of the season, Paddy. Yeah. But that's definitely not the case this year, where the championship's on hold until all 15 rounds in Division 1 and Division 2 are completed. So. Plus, you have to bear in mind too that all the players involved, you know, they're all battling for their places for those first round championship games next month, so they can ill afford to take their foot off the gas either.
Some of the teams have wild big squads, don't they? When you look at, you know, and then the reserve championship final obviously this week coming up with Tramore and Carrickmore, you know, you look at the squads and you just wonder how reserve football and senior football has evolved in Tyrone. Like, reserve football now is as competitive as the senior.
Yeah, I know, and I suppose you look at Division 3, and you know there's three teams from senior are operating at junior level, and even one or two of them also have a reserve junior team, which means they've four adult teams on the go, and if you include a few subs on that there as well, Paddy, there's some clubs with a huge pool of players, you know, and you said Carrickmore and Dromore and the senior reserve knockout fan. Probably no surprise given the resources those two clubs traditionally are able to pull upon, you know. So, but there is others in the same boat. And, you know, when Tyrone lost early in the year, there was the usual exodus to America, not just of ones that we're all familiar with, Tyrone names, but every club lost players to America, you know, maybe even lads who are key men for their clubs, even if they're not sort of inter-county players. But you know, there'll be plenty in flights back home now. If they're not already home, certainly in the next week or so, Paddy, because the management will want them on board and a part of their preparations for the championship.
Well, you tied it in very well. You think you were scripted there, Barry, because Alan Rogers caught up with one of those men who were on their travels in recent weeks. That's Michael McKiernan from Killinfina.
Good to get back there with a win there, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's good to get back to that football and get back to playing with them boys. It was a hard old battle to get back into.
Mm-hmm. I suppose like they were four up going into the second half, and then you come back. Like, were you worried at any stage that maybe it would be a losing outing?
No, not really. It was just a few things that we had to fix ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're going into tackling and stuff like that there. if we sorted that out, we knew that we had the ability to grind out a result.
Uh-huh. And how do you feel being back, Michael? Like, I suppose a couple of months away, no bother settling in again?
It's good. It's good being back home. Mm-hmm. America was enjoyable, like, but it's there where you want to be playing, and it's over here. So, mm-hmm. No, it's good to get away, but it's even better to be back.
And I suppose, like, building up now to the championship, there's three games left in the league. It gives you that wee bit of a month then to really get going again.
Yeah, the boys have been building momentum, and then that was another good win, and hopefully we can carry it on in the championship too. Mm-hmm.
And you've carried more in the championship again, another played them last week, so it'll be another important game, like, won't it?
Aye, they're all important now at this stage of the year. Maybe at the start you're getting used to it, but now we're getting to the real part of the season and we want to be starting to come good.
Did America help you get the disappointment of your own season out of your system in a way?
Slightly, it's still there obviously. It'll still be there until next year when we get playing again. But it takes your mind off it for a while, but whenever you're back, you're focused again for Clyland firstly, and then now Tyrone will be starting up shortly too, I'd say.
So Barry, obviously Michael McKiernan back, Conor Miller back, two big names, and a lot of others coming back now as well. And I suppose from a Clyland point of view, big derby game at the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. And went to Clonoe and beat the Rathalays on their own patch, which obviously gives them local bragging rights, but not just that. It's
Clonoe in a bad spot, doesn't it? As we said earlier.
Clonoe. Yeah, exactly. It does indeed, Paddy. Their need was much greater than Clonoe's. They're probably just ticking along, and if they get into a senior league final, probably a bonus, but they're just probably, it's about building up winning momentum ahead of the championship. And so in that regard, it was an excellent result for them, because Clonoe having the luxury of looking ahead of the championship, because their need at the bottom of Division 1 is pretty dire at the minute, you know. And while we all thought, you just think a traditional force like that will pull away, you know, coming into what, three games to go, they're right in the mire. So it adds to their pain that it was their fierce local rivals, Clonoe, who inflicted their most recent defeat.
Hard to beat a big derby. More about derbies in a minute. Dahalu and Stewartstown played a good game at the weekend, but a big result for Stewartstown as they remain top of the table in Division 3.
Yeah, more like a hurling score, like in Division 3. You'd think it'd be
10-8
or something like that, Paddy. So maybe the two defences took the day off, I don't know. But I think that's Stewartstown, although they'll not admit it or not want to hear it, but that was the... That was the key game out of the way now, because they've got Strabane and Ahaloo, the main challengers for the Division 3 title. They've seen past both of them, and I think the remaining three games, certainly the Harps would expect to win. They've Killyman at home this weekend, and again, they get the business done there. Then a quick glance at the remaining two fixtures, and it looks like they're in a sort of the luxurious position, Paddy, of going into the championship already promoted. You know, if they as expected, they see off the opposition in the remaining three league games. The likes of Strabane and Ahaloo will keep up the fight to the end. You know, they've both had excellent campaigns themselves. And
the Strabane boys were happy last week talking to Liam Sweeney and Cole last week at the Junior B Ladies final. Strabane beat Rocking that one, but Liam was saying that they were hoping that Ahaloo would do them a favour in that game, but obviously it didn't work out that way. So they're all still sort of in the mix there, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I think if Ahaloo had won, then the three of them were nearly deadlocked together in the same points tally. But Stewart's trying to give themselves a bit of breathing space now, and it's, you know, having seen off Ahaloo away from home, I can't see them dropping any points in the remaining three games, Paddy, so I think Stewartstown should wrap up the league, and so they'll be in fine fettle going into the championship. And Ahaloo and Strabane and even Fintan, you know, have been quietly floating along there and have had a solid campaign themselves in fourth position, but all their attention now turns to the championship, although as I said, there will be promotion playoffs at some stage later in the year, Paddy, that if the championship doesn't work out for them, they still have that avenue to promotion.
One thing is, Barry, the Division 3 Junior Championship, the Pat D'Arcy Cup, is a competition that has always been keenly contested, probably one of the most competitive championships in the three grades. You sort of look at senior and you say, well, there's five or six teams there, junior or intermediate, five or six teams there, but sort of everybody is a shout in junior, don't they?
They do indeed, the winners is likely to come from the bottom half of the table. We've seen that. I suppose the nature of the Division 3 is that, you know, there's no relegation to concern yourself with, and if you're out of contention at the top of the table, then you're just going to, you know, not meander along, but you're just going to see out your league campaign with all the focus on the championship, and then teams look to pick it up. So, yeah, that'll be certainly as competitive as ever, Paddy.
It's all about getting ready for the championship, and managers are certainly getting ready. And I caught up with one last week. The big local derby in this part of the world was Oma and Killeclaher. Killeclaher came out on top of that one, and the man in charge of Killeclaher is Kieran Ho, back in the hot seat again after a few years away.
Real worries. I'm a bit of a sucker for punishment, I think, Paddy. But no, the guys asked me at the start of the year, and I thought, my son, I hope, hopefully is going to be playing senior football in a couple of years' time, and I don't want to be his manager. So it was either take the hot seat back now or never do it again. So decided to give it a wee run.
You've got off to a great start, though, top of the table. Tonight, obviously, it's a good way to be, a good way to be playing, and some exciting players there.
Yeah, definitely full of potential, and when we work hard, we're as good as anybody in the league. Seen probably over the last couple of weeks that can work the other way. When we're not working hard, we're as poor as anybody in the league too. So, yeah, it's all about trying to strive for a better level.
Yeah, and you've been hitting some good levels. So good level tonight against Oma as well. Oma put it up to you for a while, but he's got a good head of steam and looked very calm and controlled even when they got the goal.
Yeah, the guys fought back well. Killeclare teams in the past probably maybe would have panicked a wee bit. So hopefully that's a learning curve for us tonight. Oma never panicked when they were playing, and you could see them just going about their business and waiting for that goal, and you were thinking probably on the sideline, God, this is going to go horribly wrong, but thankfully the boys dug in and got another point or two to pull away a wee bit.
And a bit like Oma, you've threw somebody new into goals there tonight, Simon O'Neill coming on. Obviously his first task was taking the ball out of the back of the net. It's important to give players that get game time, and especially with goalkeepers away this year.
Yeah, we're missing Oren probably all the rest of the year, and Sean Fox in America, and Connor White, who was the second choice goalkeeper, has decided he's going to university in England, and he won't be home at the weekend. So we're down to Ryan plus Simon now, and we needed to get Simon game time to see. Get just a bit under his belt. Same as the centre half forward normally, so can kick a ball out.
But do you think forwards know the game a lot better maybe than some other players to fall into goals?
Simon is probably the wisest player about Killeclare and can pick a pass 40, 50 yards away. So Simon knows the game inside out better than I do, I'm sure. And we felt he's the right man for the job, so we need to test that out now over the next couple of weeks, because anything happens to Ryan, we don't want to be figuring it out during the championship.
Important for Ryan to get his chance as well too, and he's been knocking on the door a few years.
Ryan, yeah, he's always been there or thereabouts. Probably unlucky when you have two great goalkeepers like Oren Grimes and Sean Fox about, both played county football, to be there, but he's stood in. Done very well for us over the last couple of games. I don't know where we'd be without him at this stage.
Now you take going forward, Loughmacrory next week.
Yeah, and Loughmacrory is going to be tough too. I managed them actually for a year, and I know they've some very, very talented footballers about them. So it's going to be a massive test. Thankfully it's here and not up in Loughmacrory, and that's maybe just a wee bit of an advantage for us, but we were under no illusions it's going to be a massive, massive match as well.
And no doubt as well, you know, like yourselves, they have a lot of young players. Now we're going to single out the likes of Oisin McCann there tonight. Great performance from him, but a good team performance overall.
Yeah, Oisin's a great player. Oisin should be pushing on for county football now at this stage. Has been playing very well all year. But yeah, we've been working on the team bit. Sometimes we probably get criticised for being individuals about here. So the team and the collective's probably always more important than the individual.
One or two to come back as well, obviously.
That's nearly us at full steam, I think, now at this stage. So with Jordan Barton in America, he'll not be allowed to play the rest of the year. Sean Fox in America, he'll not be allowed to play the rest of the year. But Mark Hayes back for the first day from an injury, a long-term injury, and he'll be a boost to us.
Yeah.
So he came on for 10 minutes as well, so it gives us another option. But apart from that, we're nearly there.
And Dromore's knocking on the door now, isn't it? I think all the teams are looking just a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah, trying to keep an eye on Dromore always. The games are always at the same time, unfortunately. You don't always get to see them, but I know all the Dromore lads are back and raring to go, and with new management, it's probably a different for them. It's not often the manager quits after winning the championship, so they have a fresh impetus to go on and win another one with Ricey in there.
You could be dark horses yourselves.
Well, we're not in it for the sake of, we're not going to turn up just for the sake of it, like, so we're in it to win it like everybody else, and we're probably about seven or eight teams that potentially could win it, and that's what we're aiming for. But Dromore, county champions, first day out, don't come any bigger than that, probably.
That's what makes the championship in Tyrone special. Anybody could win it out of those seven or eight teams, nine teams, ten teams.
Yeah, definitely. And even outside of that, there's probably been a few surprises over the last couple of years. Trillick came up from Division 2 and beat us in 2015, and Dungannon a couple of years back. So you can't even really put it down to eight teams. It's probably 15 anyway, a chance.
So Kieran Ho, happy enough. I suppose Killiclacher are coming onto the radar, Barry. There could be dark horses for the championship. I'll have a wee quick look at the championship before I let you get back to your daily work, your normal job. The championship coming around the corner very, very quickly. Junior dates out now for the preliminary rounds. All systems go.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, there's a busy time. There's a couple of junior preliminary round matches, as you said, Paddy, but after that, it's just sort of, it's like an avalanche of matches over the following subsequent weekends. You know, I think 16 ties, I think, the 2 weekends running from a Thursday through to a Monday, you know, so it'll be busy times across all 3 grades, but certainly something that all the players will look forward to, you know.
You mightn't look forward to that much. There'll be a lot of work, isn't there?
There'll be a lot of work, yeah. A lot of work, ideally. Maybe a more staggered championship would certainly have suited us and maybe one or two players, but that decision was made to run it in this condensed fashion in the autumn. Hopefully the Weller will be kind enough to us all, Paddy, but maybe could have. They were determined to get the league completed before we started the championship and just run it again. In the autumn, as they've done, tended to do now over the last decade or so, apart from the COVID year where it was played in the summer and the inter-county was moved to the winter. But yeah, hectic time ahead.
I suppose our colleague Ronan McSherry has highlighted the fact that the split season has come along, but still the championship is going to be played in the winter months. And he has a point, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it's a bit strange this year that... suppose there's that window now, or vacuum, sorry, probably a better term, where the All-Ireland series, Kerry wrapped it up at the end of July.
It's amazing to think it was July, wasn't it?
July, and then so you're into autumn, and the weather generally being quite kind, but so there's been nothing on the inter-county front, and on the club front in Tyrone there has been league football, maybe in inverted commas, which, you know, which is highly competitive and we certainly enjoy it, but it is definitely championship weather anyway, Paddy, but there hasn't been championship football, so, but we'll see. As I said, it's people have there, I could see arguments both ways for it, you know, but personally I would have liked to see the championship maybe start at the end of August and maybe run on another week, just to, particularly too, when you think that the senior championship players are going to be playing 3 weekends running, which is tough ask, but when you think that Tyrone were knocked out on June the 4th or June the 5th, but were so you had 7 months of the year, but you're still playing your club senior championship 3 weekends running. It just seems extremely condensed. I'll put it like that. You know, when you thought that with injuries and what have you, maybe. If you could afford a team's a fortnight gap between matches, it might have been fair. But there you go.
Thanks, Barry. And just a reminder that full updates and reports of all the weekend action will be in the Tyrone Herald on Monday, followed by the Dungannon Herald, Strabane Chronicle, and Ulster Herald on Thursday. Well, another game of note this coming weekend is, of course, the All-Ireland Masters semi-final. Tyrone are the champions. They'll take on Clare in the semi-final in Longford. And one of the key components of that Tyrone side is looking forward to it. That's Conor Gormley from Carrigmore.
I don't know if I thought well used to them, but I'm looking forward to it. After a good sort of week's in there, and we're in confident mood going into the All-Ireland semi-final. And another good game to look forward to. Clare are an up-and-coming team, and we know what to expect from them. A good, hard-working team. And we'll go now and try and play our game and see how that takes us, you know, but really looking forward to it.
Last year, of course, special for you. What's your feelings on winning it, a Masters, after your own success at All-Ireland level?
It was deadly. I sneaked in late to the party last year, and fair play to the boys, they're very welcome to me. I sort of come in maybe 2 weeks before the Ireland final, and they were brilliant to me, more than welcome to come in and help out, and was lucky enough, got a few minutes in that game to help them get over the line. It was great experience, and mighty bunch of lads, you know, the crack's good, and the great camaraderie there, you know, and everybody's, you know, it's like nearly like a family, or nearly like a club team there, you know, and it's great to see that everybody gets on very, very well, and a lot of experienced men there, they know they've been there and done that with their clubs down through the years, and it's great to see that they're still fit to go at a good pace, and really, really enjoying it. It was the most important thing.
And I suppose as well it's as competitive as you'd expect it to be.
Oh, without a doubt. There's that sort of wee bit of a myth out there. This is sort of a bit of a kick around and bit of a joke and bit of a laugh. I tell you truth, as far from that. We played Donegal a few weeks ago, and it was one of the hard hitting games I've ever played in my life. You know, real physical, hard game, good open, hard football, and it was a brilliant game to be involved in. And again, a great game for us to win. And looking forward now to the next day. But definitely, it's really competitive, and you know, it's probably something I think maybe that there should be a bit more promotion with it. I know maybe GAA or Croke Park aren't that fussed on doing that, but I think it'd be a great idea if they could push it a wee bit more promotion on it and get people out there to watch it, because it's really entertaining open football and real high scoring games and some quality footballers on board.
Are you going to say some quality footballers? Tyrone have plenty of them as well, don't they?
I without a doubt, you know, even a lot of club players who have played down through the years there, you know, Don McAnallan.
One or two still playing.
One or two still playing, that's right. I like Don McAnallan there, and Marty Short from Clarendon played through the years there. Like, you know, mighty footballers. You have Gary Coney from Clonoe, very good player as well. You have Gary McQuaid there, or McQuaid from the Moy as well, and then you look at Stevie O'Neill as well. Like, you have Stevie up in the forward line, you have Kieran Gourley playing well, as you know, so good to see them boys all playing and going well, you know. So it's a great thing for men to get out again and play a bit, get the boots on and play a bit of football, you know. I know it is serious, but it's good to get them out and going again.
And Eugene and Joe bring so much that they give so much time and that, don't they?
Many men, you know, they're hardcore Tyrone men, you know, always have been and always will be, you know, and it's good to see them pushing the thing on along with Damien and Kieran Leonard there as well, and they're pushing it hard, and good enthusiasm from them, from the management, and rubs off then on the players, you know, when you have management that pushing hard, trying to get men out and doing a lot of work in the background, and a lot of work doing, trying to get sponsorship and stuff like that, wee things that go unseen that you don't see or what's going on there. So they're doing hard work in the background, and it's great to see that, and that's what I'm on about, the sort of promotion of it, and it's brilliant to see the men that's taking it by the scruff of the neck and pushing it on as hard as they can.
And Munster opposition, Clare, do you know anything about them at all?
No, not a wee pile. They're sort of an up and coming team. They've done very well to get to the semi-final stage, yeah. You know, so we'll not take them for granted, definitely not. You know, any game can go any way, you know, whether it be club football or underage football, and these games are no different. We are probably looking off the script three against Donegal the last day, so we'll not take Clare for granted. Yes, we'll go down and play our game, but we'll be looking at what they've done in the past to get to this stage. So, but again, hey, looking forward to it, and it's a mighty occasion for both teams, so hopefully it's a good open game and we'll get a wee bit of support down as well.
Well, that was Conor Gormley there, looking forward to the over 40 semi-final this week against Clare, and well, best of luck to Eugene Bradley, Joe Leonard, Damien, and everybody involved in the team. I'm now joined by a celebrity now who could no doubt play a bit of football still if you wanted to, Chris Kern. Handball, though, more your game, mm-hmm. isn't it? And this last week or so has been phenomenal for yourself and Loch McCrory.
Yeah, well, I've been involved in handball a long time, Paddy. I definitely would have been a bit better at it than the football at it. But
Would you make the over 40s now? Just about, would you?
I actually would love to say that I don't qualify for it.
Unfortunately,
I would have qualified to play for it for quite some time. But I know it's great to see the over 40s football doing well. It's great to see players like Conor Gormley and men like that out talking out for Tyrone again too. That's a really good sign. The handball front has been sort of very busy now. It's one of those situations whereby handball as a sport got hit worse than any other sport during COVID, down to the point that we had a big tournament at the weekend. We weren't allowed to have it in 2020 and 2021, so you have to go back nearly 3 years till we were able to host our last tournament. So handball's actually picking up the pieces and trying to get back, whereas football, and it'll be very much involved in the football obviously too,
yeah.
And it's been able to continue on. And while there were restrictions and issues and limiting in terms of the number of spectators and all those things, handball was very hit hard because you couldn't actually play at all. You weren't actually allowed into the courts and all because of the circumstances. So it was great to get it back, great to see the return of handball, huge crowds back at Loch McCrory. So from a handball perspective and as a sport overall, it's been a huge boost to see that happening.
Well, you of course are heavily involved in handball, and your family, and God rest your family, everybody heavily involved in it down through the years. It has grown phenomenally over this last while, though, maybe the last decade and a half. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing. It goes through peaks and troughs. It's led a lot of sports, and there's things that can affect it in terms of that growth as well. I suppose I was chief executive back in 2009, and we went right through till the 2012 Worlds, and there was a lot of big tournaments. We've seen a lot of growth, significant growth developing in the sport internationally.
Yeah.
That's been a big aspect of it. One Wall Handball, which is what the tournament was last weekend, has probably played a major role in terms of the growth and advancement of it internationally. So, for instance, you would have a lot of countries in Europe playing at quite a high level, mm-hmm. In terms of both numbers and quality, and that's been a major breakthrough for the sport, so much so that there's a continued sort of acceleration towards getting the sport into the Olympics. And it would be the one wall code that would make that. We've obviously different codes of handball. I've played 60 by 30 handball, the traditional game, my whole life. Played 40 by 20 handball. My father, as you just mentioned, would have been a key exponent in terms of building that sort of dimension to the game, and Loch McCrory, along with a number of other people. We've had a lot of people. Loch McCrory has been very blessed in terms of the people that has been involved. 60 by 30 and 40 by 20 handball would have dominated that for many years. One wall handball, and we built that new arena as part of a big development project in our community. The community in Loch McCrory has been great, where everyone has come together. All the groups work really well together. Yeah. So that one wall arena it's actually a one-wall handball arena, but it's a multi-purpose facility because it caters for so much. Just a week before our tournament, it was thronged with people doing the Try the Loch. So there's so many aspects to it, and that's the advantage with one-wall handball. It's out, it's open, people can see it. That's a big part of the growth. The people know what's happening, they understand it, they can see it. And I suppose the tournament last weekend would be another part of that, is getting people out there to see it, and we had huge numbers doing that.
We'll talk to you about the tournament in a minute, because you mentioned the Olympics, and I know you were a big exponent when you were in charge of national handball to try and move it into the Olympics. And when you look at the Commonwealth Games, no later than last week, you see squash and all our sports, and then you look towards the Olympics, and you just think there's an opening there for handball.
Yeah, very much so. When I was in Croke Park, we were very much liaising and playing a major role. We actually led in terms of the drive to try and secure Olympic status. We set up a group which involved the CAJB, which is based in Spain but has 400,000 members across Spain and South America and further afield. And we also had the United States Handball Association, a professional organisation that's played professionally there, huge membership. And you had the likes of a number of one wall organizations there. So we brought together all the different countries of the world. At that time, one wall handball, which we were playing and which some countries were playing, there was other types of the game. So there was different rules, different regulations in the way they played it, different ball. So one of the big things we did in that period from 2010 through to 2013, 2014, was we brought a synergy to the sport in terms of all the countries adapting the same rules, the same regulations. We created a policy document, so it got it all into a situation where 27 countries were then playing the same sport. It has grown substantially since. So in that period, that organization has put forward representation to the Olympic Council. Now there are other organizations on board as well that are actually taking it a step further. There is a plan, a hope and a belief that by the 2028 Olympics, that'll be a very much a reality. At the very least, have it as an exhibition sport. So there's obviously certain criteria that must fit in. But I suppose the way handball looks at it, when you have things like breakdancing, skateboarding, a lot of things are now going into the Olympics, handball would be very much, very, very worthwhile in terms of sport and what it offers. And especially now when there's such a far and wide reach worldwide in terms of the way the game is played.
It's great to hear that, because you I know the work you put into it as well, and you can see the level, it's the standard that's been played, not only at Loch McCrory, but in world level now, and you see the American game professional as well, and it's great to see Irish players going out there, getting their scholarships, for example, Clodagh Munro there recently, and other players going out and doing their hand at handball.
Absolutely. You've mentioned Clodagh there. Clodagh Munro is a brilliant example. Uh-huh. She's now out on a full scholarship to America. Things like that are very, very much part and parcel of the development and growth of the sport. Opportunities like that for a young girl like Clodagh, great experience, mm-hmm. fantastic young player, great attitude. And we're blessed in Tyrone, actually, because we have Clodagh Munro, you'd have Mairead Fox, you'd have Dervla Fox, you'd have Clodagh McNamee, you've young Laura Duff that's just come through now, Lucy McCullough, and there are a lot of young girls in Tyrone, never mind the lads who play at a very high level. And I suppose going back to the thought of the Olympic status, whenever we were in full discussions in the GAA in relation to how we could maximise the global appeal of GAA handball, which it's now called, there was significant opportunities there to get a GAA sport into the Olympics. And the reason being is, more than anything, is Irish handballers are not just amongst the best in the world, but are the best in the world. And we currently have the World Men's Open One Wall Champion, Conor McElduff, from our own county here in County Tyrone. He's the number one player in the world. He's now unbeaten wherever he goes. he significantly will be ready to challenge a lot of the professional players now in the United States, particularly in New York, where it's played at a very high level for significant amounts of money. Mm-hmm. So Conor is at that phase where, if it ever went to Olympic status, a player like Conor, and that's why we would like to see it happen sooner rather than later, because he would be someone that could be getting on a plane as part of an Irish team heading to the Olympic Games and potentially come back with a gold Olympic medal. And you've mentioned there some of the young girls as well in Tyrone, never mind in Ireland as a whole. Those players, Ireland has a lot to offer the sport and has a very high standard and very high levels in terms of how we're competing within the game. So that would be a very big bonus and a big boost to the handball as a sport in Ireland.
Well, talking about boosts, Loughmacquarie certainly showed their worth again last week. The event itself went well.
It went very well. As I said, it was a tough one because we've had to endure, obviously, like everyone, like all sport, but never mind sport, health and people in general and communities have had to endure a tough time of it with COVID-19. So it's always great whenever you can come back and make a comeback and hit the ground running. Loughmacquarie is very, very, very fortunate in terms of we have an amazing community. So in addition to GA Handball, the community as a whole wrap around it. Everyone puts in a huge effort. The voluntary effort that it took, we had 292 matches played over 3 days by the Lough. And to put that in, you know, into perspective, this is totally voluntary, people putting in that sort of effort. We had a huge team that really, really put their shoulder to the wheel and got on with it, and it ran very smoothly. It is already now a very well-established tournament. The numbers will significantly increase next time around again. We had just under the 250 players competing this time around. I've no doubt if we go next year again with plans that we have in place, we could make that 350, 400 if we wanted. Not sure if we want to do that because I don't know if we'll have the management capability.
It could go to a week though, couldn't it, in reality?
It could. We'll just keep doing it. It's just, again, it comes back to that voluntary effort that's required and the people and the manpower required to run it. But it was a huge occasion, and as I said, it was just fantastic to see. We even managed to get the 3-day heat wave that happened in 2022. Happened in those 3 days.
You damn it, has something to do with that.
I know. Well, hopefully he was looking down on us and he had a smile on his face. I would say he's bound to have had a smile on his face looking down at Loughmacquarie on Friday and Saturday when there was handball flat out for those 3 days. Yeah. The sun was shining. In addition to that, there was a huge number of people in the Lough itself. There was people walking the Lough. It was an absolute hive of activity, thriving as always, and people were coming from all over. And it's nice to be part of a community that can actually showcase what we have to offer in terms of the hospitality, in terms of the welcome that we gave everyone that came. We had people there from 21 different counties around Ireland, but we also had a team of players travelled over from London, and we had two players who travelled over from France. Word has got out, and they're already looking to use it as a stepping stone internationally next year, so we may have a number of other players coming from the international domain next time around. So it's one of those things that we'll continue to look at it, and ultimately, as a community and as a club, what we're looking to do is just promote the game of handball. There's healthy benefits. There's healthy benefits whether you're an 8 or 9 year old child that wanted to play and develop hand to eye coordination, develop both sides of your body in terms of sport. It's very healthy. It's great fitness, but it's for anybody. One wall handball is for anybody, and I think that is seen through to the fact that, you know, we had players in their 50s and 60s playing and competing very strongly at the weekend, and that's the value of the sport. That's the beauty of the sport, and that's what we want to highlight as a community as well.
Before I let you go, just want to roll you back to the days of Tyrone and the GAFC League and things like that there. Is there a possibility of something like that coming back?
There absolutely is. I spoke with Dara Daly, who's down, he's part of GA Handball Ireland, and one of the things looking to do is now to put out an initiative about healthy handball and looking particularly targeting, you talked there about the likes of Conor Gormley and the Masters players in over 40, is there's a great opportunity there to look at the development of the game, particularly for retired players, both male and female, who would want to come in over the winter months and even play one wall handball throughout the year. But looking as well as for football, part of the problem I think now is the demands are quite high in terms of the sport of Gaelic football, and not just Gaelic football, any sport.
Yeah.
So there's not much of a break in 12 months of the year. In the past, we would have been able to bring in November, December, January, play handball all over the winter, and then get back into the football come February again. That's becoming more and more difficult because of the demands have become so high. It's reached such a high level in terms of standard and quality, and I suppose you have to do these things to continue to compete. Handball wise, we want to drive. It's a GA sport. It's a GA sport for everybody, and you know, we want to just keep driving that and get it to the point that people of all ages, from all over, from whatever background that you come from, that the opportunity will be there for you to play it.
Roll on the Olympics, then you'd maybe get the togs on for the Olympics again, would you?
It wouldn't be a fantastic advertisement for the sport, that now, wouldn't that?
It's great to have that.
There is that dimension, and I think that would be great to see. I think it would be great to see it getting into the Olympics, because it would give it the exposure and the recognition that it very much deserves in terms of an international sport.
Chris Curran there in great form, and great to hear him in good form, of course, as well. Just a reminder, 2:15, 3:45 throw-ins for this weekend's football action. In Division 1, it's Dungannon against Cole Island, Killaclaher against Loch McCrory, Clonoe against Carrigmore, Dullamore go to Thrillick, Moy meet Dromore, and Derrylaughan take on Greencastle, while Eric Lecairn face Arbow, O'Donovan Rossa, and Oma face Murtown. It's a big local derby in Division 2 as Tally Ray meet Clogher. That's a massive game in the bottom half of the table there. Drumrah take on Castle Derg, and Ahiarn go to Eden Dork, among some of the other key games in the day. And there's also a big game in North Tyrone this weekend. Erne take on Drunkwan in Division 3. Fintan, meanwhile, meet Brackenfell Owen Rose. Plenty of football to look forward to. As always, full reports and analysis. And just before we finish, the best of luck to all the teams involved in the Murphy's Loves Tyrone Junior B Football Championship. As in ladies football, Strabane go into that series very much favourites after their big league final victory at the weekend over an injury-ravaged Rock. But plenty of football still to come from all the sides. We'll be back next week here with our new look Red Hand podcast.